Let us pray. Generous God, you give us all of creation. You give us the gift of life. You give us the gift of mercy and the mystery of eternal life. In Christ, you give yourself to us, and so we give you thanks. We open our hearts to you now, that as we hear your word, we may receive the love you give us. Amen. A reading from Matthew. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not more important than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly provider feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things. And indeed, your heavenly provider knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the realm of God and God's harmony, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God. Please stand for the Psalter on page 771 of the Blue Hymnal. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments like the great deep. O Lord, humans and animals be safe.
O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delight.
For within you is the fountain of life. In your light we do see light.
Only you, who steadfast love, those who know you, and your salvation is upright.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter. Jesus went into the temple and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting in their offerings. Many rich people came and put in large sums, and then a poor widow came in and put in two little copper coins worth a penny. And Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, this woman has put in more than all the others who contributed to the treasury, because they contributed out of their abundance, but she, in her poverty, has given everything, all that she had." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't always like that. She wasn't always that generous with her money. She grew up in a fairly well-to-do household. Her father made a lot of money, and he was proud of it. And it would have really deeply troubled him to have been unable to provide for his family as he chose. He was terrified of the thought of being poor, couldn't imagine not having enough to be able to control the conditions in one's own house. She inherited a little bit of his fear. When she was married, it was her husband who was the generous one. She was the one who was always watching where the money came from and where it was going, what there was left, how much there would be, always anxious for tomorrow. They lived very comfortably, but she was always anxious for what might come next. Unfortunately, one of the things that came next was that there came a time when her husband grew ill, and they spent a lot of money on doctors trying to cure him, and it didn't seem to be working. He got worse and worse. And they spent enormous sums on every doctor trying to find a cure. And it got worse until finally his disease crippled him. And she would have gladly given their last cent for a cure for her husband. But there was nothing to be done. And she was deeply anguished, not only at her husband's condition and the thought of losing him, but totally, deeply in despair at the powerlessness of not being able to help him. With all this money, she would gladly buy anything that would work, but there was nothing. And in terror, she watched as both her husband and also their money diminished until they were both gone. He died and left her not only in grief, not only recovering from this terrible feeling of powerlessness with this husband who was paralyzed and not being able to help him, but now the fear of what would come next. They had no children. There was no family. There was no one to take care of her. Without a husband, she had no access to income. She did what little she could, sewing people's garments, repairing torn garments or sewing new things. But almost everybody sewed their own. There was very little work for her, and it paid very little. And over the course of time, gradually her resources shrank. One by one, she sold all of her possessions, all of their nice things, eventually even the house, until literally the time came when she had nothing left but a few coins tucked away in her tiny little house. And one day, she went out working the rounds through Jerusalem, picking up people's garments and dropping off the things that she had sewn and collecting the few little coins that she had earned. By the end of the day, when she walked back home, she had a handful of coins that represented an entire week's work. And her despair fell over her like one of the garments that she couldn't repair, this burden of the fear of what might possibly come next. She had almost nothing and nowhere left to turn. And in this despair and disappointment and fear, she walked home through the great marketplace with all the traffic, the people walking this way and that. They all had places to go. They all had things they were doing. They knew where their next day's meal was coming from, and she didn't. And this troubled her. And up ahead, on the far side of the marketplace, on the edge of the street, she saw a beggar. And immediately, this rage rose up in her. How dare he? Here she was working so hard trying to just stay alive. And here's somebody who wants her money. She hardly has anything. And along with the rage, there was this disgust. Because from what she could see, it appeared that he was paralyzed. And it reminded her too much of her husband when he was paralyzed. and those awful feelings that circled around in her heart of that time. And she resented this man who reminded her of her husband, except that he was alive, and she resented that. And she resented that suddenly it called up in her all these old feelings, that despair and that powerlessness. And maybe also she was angry because he was holding up a mirror to herself, because she knew she was just like that. She was this handful of coins away from becoming a beggar, and she did not like that. And as she thought about this man and thought about those memories of her own husband and how she had tried so hard and was so helpless to change that situation, she slowed down, she pulled over, she just kind of stopped by the side at the edge of the street opposite this beggar and just lost herself in these dark, troubling thoughts. Angry at this man, she just glared at him through the crowd, and she noticed all these people walking by, and she wished she could just walk by and ignore him like they were, but she couldn't. And she wished she could just fix him and send him on his way, but she couldn't do that. That old familiar feeling of that deep, terrifying powerlessness rose up in her again. And she followed those dark thoughts of this man that was frighteningly just like her. And she thought, if she was like him, maybe he was like her. Maybe at some point he had a loving wife who took care of him until she died. Maybe at one point he had provided faithfully for his family, just like her husband had before he fell ill. Well, she didn't know his story, but there was nothing she could do about it. That's what infuriated her. She was completely powerless. It's not like she could go over and give him a pile of money and make things better. She certainly couldn't heal him. And she felt that same powerlessness that she felt that long time ago when her husband was dying, that there was nothing she could do. She would be happy to give him some money. In fact, she wanted to. She wanted to give him some money, but she couldn't. She had nothing to give. She was powerless. She was paralyzed. No, wait. He was paralyzed. She was not. There rose in her this other feeling that she'd had when she was struggling to save her husband's life. This defiance. This refusal to be defined by her circumstances. And she thought, I am not paralyzed. I will not be defeated. I still have power. I have a power that cannot be taken from me. There is something I can do. And immediately she knew what she would do. She was terrified of it, but she knew what she would do. And she pulled herself out of her trance and she began to walk across the marketplace, cutting through all these people walking this way and that. It was hard work to walk through the crowd, especially the closer she got to that man, because everybody was avoiding him and walking way around him, so the crowd was thicker there. But as hard as it was, with every step she took, she felt her fear slip away. And she worked through the crowd. And she came to this man, and she looked down at him, and she found herself smiling at this man that she thought she despised. She found herself feeling led. She took his hand. She put in it every coin she had. And she closed his fingers around those coins. And he looked up at her with this stupefied amazement, this speechless gratitude, as if he knew the whole story. And she looked at him, equally speechless, equally grateful. Not any longer angry at God for having put her in this place, but grateful to God for putting her in this place. Because now, what she felt was power. The power of her own generosity that no one could take from her, that nothing could take from her. The power to give another person joy no matter what circumstances. The power to be generous even if you have nothing. In time to come, she did essentially become a beggar, entirely dependent on the generosity of friends and strangers alike. But she grew more and more deeply to trust what she learned that day. That generosity is a power that cannot be taken from you, that no circumstance can diminish, that you can exercise if you have nothing. And that it is not true that it takes great courage to give generously, but the opposite. That generosity is a tremendous power that overcomes all fear and sets you free. And for the first time in her life, she was truly, deeply at peace. So the day came when she was in the temple to give her offering. She didn't see Jesus opposite the treasury watching with his disciples. She noticed the wealthy people. She recognized them. At least she recognized how they moved. She noticed that familiar way that they fingered their coins, the way that they dropped them into the slot one by one so that each one clattered and clanked and announced its presence. She saw in their faces that look that she'd seen on her father's face. That fear disguised as smugness. She saw how they looked around. She felt sorry for them. But she said nothing. She came to the offering box. And of the 3 coins in the world that she owned, she put in 2. And she was happy. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your deep generosity in which you give us yourself. You give us Christ. You give us life. And we pray for the gift of your generosity. God of love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.